Mr. Justice, just curious, from your perspective, what's the latest on where the race stands right now?
Well, it's standing at the Court of Appeals. The three-judge panel heard arguments and have taken the case under consideration, and one of the three will be responsible for writing the opinion, whether it's a 3-0 or 2-1 opinion, explaining the court's ruling, and there's no set timetable for that, but one would expect that they're moving as quickly as possible to get a decision out.
So what's going on behind the scenes? Is it just a lot of wait and see right now for both sides?
Yeah, I think both sides are waiting to see. It's not just how the court rules, but on what points they rule and how they rule, how they explain it. The next logical step would be to the North Carolina Supreme Court, by whichever side disagrees with the decision. And then after that, potentially to the federal court. But I'm sure the lawyers are already working on putting together a game plan for taking the case to the state Supreme Court.
If this does go the federal route, wouldn't that just revert back to a lower court and then we've got to start this whole thing over again?
I've said this thing could go on for months and months and months and months. Yeah, I mean, that's entirely possible that if the federal court reversed all or in part what state court did, you essentially would be starting over. But again, it's what they write. They have to explain their reasoning on the particular legal and constitutional issues in play, and then that has the consequences of setting the chain of events in place.
I want to change gears on you, if I could. Over the weekend, we heard President Trump make comments about running for a third term, saying there were methods to do that. From a constitutional standpoint, Mr. Justice, is this a pathway forward for the president to do that?
Well, I haven't seen a single constitutional expert of either political party who thinks that a third term is available to Mr. Trump or to anyone else, for that matter, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, George Bush. The Constitution the people adopted a constitutional amendment limiting the presidency to two terms. And, Mr. Trump is a showman of some note, and I think this is just something to kind of keep folks talking.
The Wisconsin State Supreme Court race was in the national spotlight, and given the amount of money that Elon Musk put into that race in particular, do you see a scenario moving forward in our elections where these Supreme Court races generate a lot of money and a lot of notoriety from the nationwide perspective?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's already been happening in other states. I mean, the last Supreme Court race I ran in 2002, I think I raised and spent maybe $200,000. You know, now they're talking millions and millions of dollars and all of this outside money pouring in. It really is destroying any semblance of an independence in the judicial system. And one of the interesting things in Wisconsin is that it's ostensibly a nonpartisan race. I mean, you don't run as a Republican or a Democrat. And yet, there you have, I think they set national records for the amount of money, outside money, spent on the race. And I'm not sure who can turn that ship around, but I have grave concerns about the future of the judiciary if this kind of spending and partisanship is allowed to infest the judicial selection process.
To that end, how do we get back to it? How does it become nonpartisan again? Is there a way to put it, the toothpaste back in the tube, so to speak?
Well, it's very difficult at this point. I do think, there's so many hot button issues going to state courts these days. I think in North Carolina, the driving force in generating much more money was redistricting, and so you have these various issues that cause outside groups and the political parties, the national level, to say, oh, it's critical that we control the courts. But I mean, there really needs to be a complete revision of the Code of Judicial Conduct, taking into consideration that that various states have rules for electing judges versus the appointment of judges, and I don't think the code was ever set up to deal with the political consequences. But campaign finance reform would be huge. Certainly, I would think that state leaders of both political parties should be concerned about the perception that outside interests are coming in and buying a seat on the Supreme Court, or literally buying the entire court. That can be regulated through campaign finance requirements, I think. But it won't be easy. It won't be easy in this day and age. But I think the members of the judiciary have to step up to some extent and say, you know, here's the appropriate way that we should act in the context of partisan politics, or even a nonpartisan race that is partisan because people have chosen it to be a partisan perspective.
Mr. Justice, as I let you go, who you got winning the national championship in men's basketball this year?
You know, I'm an anybody but Duke guy. I'll be honest about that. I'm going to go with Kelvin Sampson in Houston because Kelvin's got a North Carolina connection, and I kind of like the old school way he runs the program. But I got to tell you, Duke's got enough talent to compete in the NBA. So, if I were actually putting money on it, I think I'd have to go with Duke.
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate the honesty, Mr. Justice, and the candor as always.
All right.
Retired State Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr. Mr. Justice, thanks as always for your time. I look forward to talking again soon.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
Take care.